Welcome to the Rooster's Nest. I am your host. I am the Rooster. Here with my co-host, Merlin. Each week, we will discuss current events, relationships, careers, and so much more. Journey with us as we try to make the most out of everyday life, and as we probably will discover that we're all more alike than we think. Welcome to this episode of the Rooster's Nest. I am your host. I am the Rooster. I'm here with my co-host, Merlin.
Hello.
Merlin, how are you doing?
I am trying to warm up. I'm cold.
This is really weird for you because you're never cold.
I know. It sucks. I don't like it.
So what's up with that?
I'm not sure. I don't know. It's winter.
All right. Yeah, definitely getting colder out there for sure.
Enough about me. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. I have so much to be thankful for. Big given that this is Thanksgiving week and our birthday week, which is kind of an interesting coincidence. If you don't have birthdays on holidays, definitely interesting. It's always been interesting throughout my entire life, as I'm sure it's been through yours as well.
I feel like over the years we found a way to make it more fun.
Right. Most definitely. Well, this year was no exception. My birthday was excellent. Had a very relaxing day. And, of course, my birthday fell on Thanksgiving Day.
Doesn't that happen, like, every 5 years? Or how often for you?
I think it's every 5 to 7 years.
And I think mine is every 7 to 9 years that it lands right on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. My birthday isn't until Monday, but we still celebrate it all together.
Yeah, for sure. So, what's our topic this week? You wanted to talk about something specific that was close and near and dear to your heart.
Well, one of the things that we started doing to make our birthday special is kind of a Black Friday event. You know what Black Friday is, right?
I do, absolutely. It's the biggest shopping day of the year. You get the best deals, you go out in the crowds, awesome day for people watching. You can watch some crazy shit unfold.
Well, it definitely is interesting. The day after Thanksgiving, you're right, known as the busiest shopping day of the year. And according to Wikipedia, it was first acknowledged in 1951 and didn't really gain traction in the industry until 1980.
Holy smokes. That's pretty incredible. I remember growing up as a kid, like, we couldn't care less about Black Friday just because we were poor. But not only that, we didn't really even think about those things. So growing up, it didn't really cross my mind until later in life when my first mother-in-law was a retail store manager and had crazy stories. And then, of course, the internet came around. And you see all these videos of people getting trampled and beat up and fighting over TVs and crazy stupid stuff like that too. Nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The sales sometimes started as early as on Thanksgiving in the evening. You know, my mom worked at Kmart, and they would close the store down, get everything ready, and reopen at a certain time. And then, like you said, they would have the early Friday morning lines where people were getting trampled over
wrap around things. The building. Crazy.
And then when the internet came along, then there was that online influence, and we had Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday. Love Cyber Monday.
But I think the retail industry changed a lot, just as everyone else did, when the pandemic kind of made its big influence.
When it shut the world down?
That yeah, too.
That was amazing. Awesome.
Yeah, they started changing all of the Black Friday deals to being online, and there was not a limited number again. So I think more people became involved, and they didn't have to go out into all the craziness. So this year, I thought it was kind of interesting. The retail industry made a pivot. Did you notice anything different about this year's Black Friday specials?
Yeah, they were non-existent. They weren't really all that big of a discount. And they seem to have been more of a you know, less of do it today rather than spreading it out over the weeks and the months surrounding it.
Yeah, it was like Black Friday for the entire month of November.
It's like Black November.
Black November. Okay, now I don't think that was, you know, technically
not
politically correct.
Not their intention to call it Black November?
No, and I'm actually surprised that they haven't removed that from now, but...
That's comical.
I don't know, it's interesting. You know, we had experiences where there was a woman in front of us who was being very impatient for the cashier. Today, we actually had someone who was a pedestrian who decided just to walk out right in front of us and stare us down while we were driving. So that was
comical.
Quite interesting.
The guy was on a mission. He just rolled right out and didn't care. We were going to run him over. Just kind of looked back over like,
Although we've made this kind of our thing to make our birthdays kind of fun, it is, interestingly enough, a business strategy.
What do you mean by that?
Well, have you ever heard of planned obsolescence?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, it's like getting your new cell phone every couple of years, you know, because the company's only going to make it good and run and allow it to update for so long before they have to upgrade the hardware, right?
I think you're right on track. It's literally the practice of planning or designing a product with an artificially limited useful life. Wow. So tech is a great example of that because they present to you a superior replacement model, which everybody goes for, and voila, more money is being made, more money is being spent.
Well, that kind of makes sense with that brand new TV I just hung up in the bedroom because the other one pretty much took a shit and was done.
And I think we had that one a little bit longer than the 2 to 3 years. I think that one was about 5 years old.
I think it was older than that.
It was having some issues.
I think the dust on it was older than that.
Hey!
Yeah, but yeah, good times though. Hey, we got some new TV in the bedroom, kind of nice bigger picture. Should be interesting.
I could watch it without wearing my glasses, and the volume will continuously work. So this is good.
Exactly, and it won't keep cutting out unpredictably.
So with Black Friday being kind of a business strategy, that kind of takes me into today, which is Small Business Saturday. Why do you think that matters?
So what is it with all the catchphrases and, you know, the Black Friday, the Cyber Monday, the Small Business Saturday, you know, it's like the Ooga Booga Sunday, you know what I mean? Like,
well, they're marketing strategies for sure. Of course, and I'm going to blame a little bit of that also on Instagram, hashtag Small Business Saturday.
Oh, well, that's cool. Well, hey, I'm all about supporting small businesses, as you know.
And why would you choose to buy something from a small business versus Amazon, where it's cheaper?
Well, I like supporting the local economy, to be honest. Amazon, well, don't get me started on Amazon. As much as I love buying from Amazon, I hate it at the same time. Just because, well... I'm just not going to go there today. Let's just say that my relationship with Amazon is love-hate. I love it, and I hate it at the same time.
Well, let's choose something different then. Why would you choose to buy something at a small business versus, like, the Dollar Tree or Temu or Wish?
Oh, well, that's simple. Like, small business, like I said before, supporting small businesses, I'm a huge fan. I would rather support somebody in my local community to put food on their table to support their families than I would some multinational conglomerate or big box store or, you know, someplace that my $500 isn't going to matter. You know, if I spend $100 at a local retailer or $500 at a local retailer, that's going to go a lot further for them than it will someplace like Walmart or Amazon or any other place, the big box stores.
That's true. And just to piggyback onto that, we're also not using child labor or poor labor practices. Small businesses are supporting local businesses that follow the rules.
Oh, boy. Well, seeing I wasn't going to go that direction, but yeah, there is that as well, because, you know, protecting our kids and, you know, not supporting that type of industry is kind of a big deal. It's becoming more of a big deal these days.
It really is. You know, I get excited about this, so I jump online to try to geek out a little bit. And I went to the U.S. Trade Representative, which is ustr.gov, and I learned that the United States is the second largest trading nation behind China, of course. The United States is also the second largest exporter behind China. But this one should shock you. The United States is the number one importer of goods in the world.
Well, that doesn't really surprise me at all, considering the United States is one of the wealthiest nations in the world, even though it wouldn't look like it in certain areas around our nation, but, you know, we are a very wealthy, very wealthy nation.
Who still struggles with homelessness and hunger. It's just mind baffling to me that that is still an issue in one of the wealthiest nations in the world.
Say it for the people in the back. Read my lips. In the world. Anyway, now just having a little bit of fun with that. But no, in all seriousness, yeah, you're right. The U.S., you know, obviously we do a lot for up-and-coming nations and stuff like that, but you know, being where we are financially, you know, absolutely. I would much rather support my local somebody than a, you know, multinational conglomerate world, New World Order type place than anywhere else.
Totally understandable. I took it a little bit further and I went to OEC.world to learn what the United States' top exports are, which are refined petroleum gas, crude petroleum, cars, and integrated circuits. Do any of those surprise you?
For imports or exports? Sorry, I missed.
Those are our top exports.
So that's what we put up. Wow. No, that's not really surprising. I am a little surprised about the petroleum products, even though I know that we do a lot of oil and gas exploration. It surprises me that we're still one of the top exporters of petroleum products.
Well, interestingly enough, the top imports are crude petroleum, cars, computers, broadcasting equipment, and packaged medications.
Oh, there we go. Big pharma. Yep. Not surprising there either. Well, and I would imagine, well, we already know this, that most of those imports come from one place. China.
You are correct, Rooster. You are correct.
China.
But what kind of hit me when I was reading this is a couple of things. Our current administration is looking to remove our reliance on petroleum-based products, which I am not 100% against in certain areas. However, with that being, you know, the top exports that the United States is involved in, what would that do to our economy?
Well, just look at what happened with the coal industry. You know, we actually have family that are involved in the coal industry. You know, many people lost their livelihood, lost their jobs. You know, and the politicians crack me up. They're like, oh, well, they can just go get retrained or whatever. And what they don't realize is a lot of those folks, they either have, and this isn't saying anything negative about them, just a lot of them have, you know, limited education, and just popping back into school you know, taking a year off is not an option for them to go back to school.
Well, especially in places like West Virginia, that's the number one impoverished state in the United States. There are still people with large amounts of people without any running water and resources.
Right. So, I don't know. I just, a lot of times I think the politicians are disconnected from reality. But anyway, hey, in other fantastic news, did you see that car/rocket ship on the Canadian border this last week?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. There was a lot of scare involved because they had coined it right from the beginning to be some kind of terrorist attack.
Yeah, yeah. They immediately downplayed that, which I find interesting. And then there's been radio silence ever since. So it's kind of wild. I watched a thing today that said that the FBI had determined that there was no explosive device on the car, even though it was shattered into a billion pieces. And the only thing that they could make out was the engine. The rest of it was pretty much disintegrated, along with the two occupants in the car, which absolutely baffles me. And that they've handed the investigation back to the local police department to investigate, like, a traffic accident.
Interesting.
Isn't that wild?
It is very wild. So
crazy. Crazy world we live in. Crazy world we live in.
Well, and to add to that, you know, just going back to imports and exports of the United States, what were to happen if the top imports that we bring into our country, crude petroleum, cars, computers, broadcasting equipment, packaged medications, what if something like the pandemic happened again where we weren't able to get those goods into the country?
Well, I think we're already seeing some of that supply chain effect downstream, where, you know, big transport companies like FedEx and Yellow Freight and other trucking companies are laying off thousands of people. Like Yellow Freight, for example, had been around since the 1950s or earlier. It might have been earlier than that, but they went into bankruptcy and are closing shop, and they had over 22,000 employees.
So it begs the question, how are we getting these products to everybody in the United States if we're laying off truck drivers?
Well, that supply chain machine is going to start slowing down. For a really long time, America has, there's been a thin veil separating total collapse from, you know, a veiled reality of prosperity. So it's just a matter of, I don't know. I don't want to say it's a matter of time, because I'm hopeful that things are happening that will prevent that. But at the same time, you know, it very well, if things stay on the same track that we're currently on, we are in for some very dark days.
I've been reminiscing a bit, and I've been really missing my grandfather. And I look back at, you know, he grew up through the Depression as a child. And I remember, unlike my parents, if I was eating something and I wasn't hungry anymore, he wouldn't tell me to eat everything on my plate. Rather, he would say, if you're not hungry, you do not have to eat all of that. And I often wondered why, and he told me it's because when he was a child during the Depression, when they didn't have much, when they did have something, they would engorge themselves and then vomit afterwards because of that habit. But, you know, he had a few other habits that I find to be very beneficial now. At the time, I thought he was overly frugal, but, you know, if he had something that broke, he fixed it. He didn't go buy a new one. And on top of that, he did keep stock of things. So you're going to laugh a little bit, but he always had a good stock of toilet paper. And not only one of the biggest reasons he chose to do that was not because, you know, it would be a good bargaining tool, although it would, but mostly because he had to use like Sears catalogs and newspapers in an outhouse. So, you know, toilet paper was quite a commodity to him. It's
definitely a luxury item to have.
It is. It would be a good bartering tool. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But, well, and that explains why we have quite the stock of toilet paper and other paper goods, as well as the other items in our stockpile.
Well, I mean, then that's just it. It's just being prepared and keeping all of those things ready. It's very important. And just knowing that you can't rely on the fact that everything's going to be on the store shelves. And I feel like we all had a little taste of that during the pandemic when there was items like toilet paper, baby formula, massive diapers.
Blowout of panic buying of toilet paper.
But there was also a supply chain issue because of all of the ships that were stuck over off the coast and couldn't unload their goods. You know, there was... Yep. And that has led to staffing that started with staffing shortages, and that continues even now. So there's a lot to be said about planning ahead and knowing that our way of life as Americans, just going to the store to pick up something every 5 minutes, that's not always going to be the case, and nor should we rely on that.
No, you're absolutely right. I know, just for grins, I'm pulling up a maritime tracker that tracks ships and boats, just like the airplane tracker that I used to kind of keep an eye on. This is kind of fascinating. It shows you where all the ships are and where they're going around the world, and it's fascinating to me.
Why are there ships on land, though? That doesn't make sense.
It looks like there are. That's kind of interesting. It must be on a lake. Yeah, it's in the lake.
Okay.
It's a pleasure craft.
Sure.
Let's see. Yeah, it's a pleasure craft on a lake. That's interesting. It's just corresponding with the GIS, or the GPS system, satellites. But yeah, no, you look, I mean, that's just incredible. You see all these boats just kind of hanging out. Some are moving in, some are moving out. We get closer, it's kind of interesting to me.
And what's the name of the tracker that you use?
This is marinetraffic.com. And it basically just shows inbound, outbound ships. You can look at the ports. You can look at, boats that are anchored. You can, it's kind of neat. Let's see, that's an anchorage. Try to find one that... I don't know. Anyway, I digress. But yeah, I mean, it shows, look at, I mean, this right here, this is Long Beach Harbor, and there's not much in there. In contrast, just for giggles, let's go look. Just for giggles, let's go look over. Let's go to the west. Look at that. In contrast, look at that. That's incredible. This is China. Look at all those ships.
Wow, yeah, that's a lot.
That's just incredible. In Japan, South Korea, that to me, that's just insane. That is a ton of cargo. But
well,
anyway.
Just to wrap this up in a nice little tidy bow, Rooster and I have been working on trying to minimalize and be intentional about the things that we have and utilize. And that's just kind of supported by that whole planned obsolescence business strategy and just being mindful of it. Mm-hmm. So we've been working on that. But we did have a successful Black Friday. I got an espresso maker and we got a new TV.
Yeah.
Rooster got a new hat.
I got a new hat.
Yellowstone hat.
That was my big buy for Black Friday.
No, but it was a Black Friday deal that I got before Black Friday.
No, I think, we've always enjoyed Black Friday for a number of reasons. You know, we would go and people watch, which is always hilarious to me. Like, I've always enjoyed watching people and their mannerisms and their lack of situational awareness. And so that's always been a big part of Black Friday. Even when we lived in Arizona, we would go to Walmart because, the local Walmart was like the drama spot on Black Friday. And, we'd go, we'd watch people get arrested and watch people have marital dysfunction. in the store, or, you know, just the breakdown of society, which was just, it was sad but comical for us to watch. But I don't know. So that was always kind of a tradition. We would go do our thing on Black Friday and see what was what. But over the years, you know, like you were saying, things have toned down quite a bit. And, you know, I guess on our end, there's just kind of a lack of, more so a lack of interest. It's always been intentional, you know, what we would go out for. We would go to the store and find, you know, whatever it is that we were wanting or needing that particular year. You know, this year we needed a new TV and a new coffee maker and, you know, some other fun things like that. So that was the goal this year. So I think we nailed it. I think we got everything that we needed for less than $500, which that's always good, right?
I think so. I think we did a great job, and we obtained the things that we wanted, and we're going to enjoy them.
Oh, heck yeah, for sure. So, well, until next time, is there anything else that you wanted to add before we cut out?
I just want to wish you a very happy birthday. You know, you're kind of over that.
Well, thank you. And I hope your birthday coming up is very good as well. I know that I have to work on the day, but I hope that the weekend so far has been able to kind of make up for that shortcoming.
Absolutely. I think that we had a great Thanksgiving. We didn't have the hustle and bustle that we used to back in the day when we had to go visit everybody's family and the kids. And we were even fortunate enough before Thanksgiving, we were able to go and have dinner with one of the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And that was super enjoyable. I don't think that we ever imagined when the kids were little that, hey, someday we're going to be going to their house for dinner. But
right. That's
exactly what we did, and it's better than I could have ever imagined. So I'm so full of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And
very thankful.
Very,
lots
very thankful.
Joy in my belly, for sure. You know, lots of good feelings. Absolutely. Not only, you know, to them for having us over, but for you and, you know, your mom and the rest of our family. It's been a very good weekend as far as reconnecting goes, I think.
Absolutely. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about on the next episode, but definitely tune in because it will be good.
Well, we certainly hope so. This being the first of many to come, and we do plan to have guests on the show. And if you're hearing this and you're interested in becoming a guest on the show and you're in our universe, you know how to reach us, then feel free, please reach out to us and let us know. We've got a couple of guests lined up that should be fun. This should be really fun to be hanging out and talking to here in the next couple weeks. So with that, hey, well, thanks for joining us. And for myself and Merlin, we hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk soon.